In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If anyone could boast, it would have been John. Jesus calls John the baptizer the greatest born of woman. So he far surpasses that of Moses and Elijah, even though John never performs any miracles. For they all preached repentance in the Messiah who was coming. Only John preached repentance in the Messiah who was here. Only John had the privilege of lifting his hand to baptize the very Son of God and thus revealing him to all Israel. Only John could declare, "Behold the Lamb of God." So all the prophets find their culmination in John. Jesus lifts him up above all the prophets, and yet John pushes himself down. Who he is irrelevant. Who Christ is what matters. The evangelist writes that those who were sent to John were from the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders of the day. They professed to be waiting for the coming Messiah, and yet they bristled at John's message. They were obsessed with themselves and not with the Christ. Their doctrine was not believe and be saved, but rather follow the law and be saved. They boasted in their lineage. And John calls them a brood of vipers, children of the devil. Their outward piety far surpassed anyone else. And yet John called them to repentance, to turn away from their sins and to turn toward God in faith. So they want to know who this baptizer is. Not because they're curious, but they want to discredit him in front of the people. They despise his message, and so they despise the messenger. He preached repentance to them, a turning away from sin as preparation for that coming Messiah. And yet these Pharisees thought they were already prepared because they were such good people. So they refused to be baptized by John because they refused to look ahead and to believe in that coming Savior. But still they wanted answers, so John gives them an answer. "I am a voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." It's as if John said, "Why are you so concerned about me? I am only a voice. Stop asking about me and ask about the one who follows me. Ask about him who surpasses me. The reason I came baptizing was so that he might be revealed to Israel. The Father spoke from heaven. The Spirit descended and landed on him like a dove. He is the one you need to know about. And he already stands in your midst. I am not worthy to serve him, much less to untie his sandals. I am a nobody. But he is Christ the Lord." And so with these words, John directs all attention away from himself and toward that coming Messiah. He doesn't boast in himself. He doesn't care if people know about him or like him. But he wants all people to look in the direction he is pointing. But still, the Pharisees refuse. The God who surrounded Mount Sinai with smoke and clouds and earthquakes and thunder and trumpet blast stands among them. John called them to repent. And these Pharisees thought that this God would come to them and praise them for being such good people. They were not repentant. And so Christ very harshly speaks about such kind of people. "Woe to you, Capernaum. It will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you, because you failed to recognize the time of God's visitation. You would do well to prepare for this Savior, lest he visit you with wrath and not salvation." The Pharisee prepares by dressing up for church, putting his offering in his pocket, setting up Christmas trees, decorating sanctuaries and their houses. They prepare externally. John encourages inward preparation. And so the Christian prepares in only one way. Repentance. He turns away from sin and he turns toward God in faith. Make straight the path to your own heart. Cast aside all pride. Remove every inkling of sin. Get rid of all grudges. And yes, even of your guilt. Stop assuming that God loves you because of who you are or what you have done. For Christ will not dance around any boulders or mountains to come to you. He wants a straight shot to your heart, to do with you as he wills. So turn away from your sin by confessing your sinfulness. It is no small thing to confess that you are a sinner, deserving of God's eternal wrath, and who has sinned in very obvious ways. Society is very quick to blame to play the victim card. It's quick to blame others for their sins and their mistakes. Nothing is ever their fault. And yet, if the axe is already at the root of the tree in John's day, how much more is it locked and loaded in our day, ready to cut down all those who refuse to repent? God is coming. And yet, at the same time, God is already here. He stands among you. He's not somewhere stuck up in heaven, but he's here among us. So you would do well to receive him with a repentant heart. So will you heed John's warning to repent, or will you stand next to the Pharisee? Do you see your need for Christ, or do you think that you are already good enough? Only the repentant are prepared. The unprepared, then, will not receive this Lord as a Savior, but as a vengeful God. As the psalmist says, to the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the blameless you show yourself blameless, to the pure you show yourself pure, but to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. Prepare for Christ by repenting. Turn away from yourself, turn away from your lineage, and look toward God in faith. For by his law he exposes the prideful hills, the sinful boulders, and the valleys of doubt. Do not deny them, but confess your sins in all of its ugliness. Confess because you know what God will say. He has a straight shot to your heart to do with you as he wills. And yet you are confident his love endures forever. He will not disappoint you. The incarnate God rushes into your heart with the sweet smell of his resurrection. Gone is the terror of Sinai because he has paid the price. He has removed your every sin. And now he lives. He stands between you and death itself. Your sins cannot harm you, for where there is forgiveness, there is also life. Learn of Bethlehem, but do not look for him in Bethlehem. Look for him on the altar. Learn of his history, but recognize how he comes in the present. He is not far from you. He stands among you. He's in word and supper. Yes, you have failed, but he forgives. Yes, you have cut the corners on your preparation, thinking no one will notice. Outwardly, you look good. But he comes in mercy to bring the full brunt of his law against you, so that he might bring you low and then raise you up by his gospel. So your failures cannot define you. Your achievements cannot define you. Your family cannot define you, and neither can your limitations define you, whether physical or mental. Only Christ defines you. Your self-worth is wrapped up in him, not in social media, not in friends, not in work, not in achievements. It's wrapped up solely in Christ. For you are God's beloved, bought with Christ's own blood, children of God, heirs of heaven, and co-heirs with Christ. Therefore, God has come to you this day to forgive you, even as he came to win that forgiveness at his first coming. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.